you would, let's lift our voices as we praise the Lord this morning. Amen.
Yeah.
sing it out. chains are gone. God's grace today.
Mercy never.
church. We lift your voices up.
Are you the friend you think you are? This one absolutely wore me out. You have a very unfit person up here to be discussing this passage today, but I hope that it will help you as it has helped me to identify some real gaps in my spiritual walk. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians 2. We're going to be in 19 through 24, as Chris read earlier. In my 20s, I got a phone call after I had gotten married and been to many weddings. You kind of go through a season of life. It seems like that every Saturday is a wedding when all your friends are starting to get married. I was past that season. I had gone to many of them, and a friend of mine called and said, "Well, I finally did it. Finally found somebody to marry me, and I'm going to get married, and I want you to come to my wedding." Well, my brain went to working, and I quickly found a great excuse as to why I couldn't go to this gentleman's wedding. An excuse that had no credibility at all. There was no reason that I couldn't go to that wedding. I just didn't want to go. Have you ever realized that you weren't the friend that you thought you were? We all want strong, loyal friendships, but we don't always long and strive to be the friend we'd want to have. It's possible, though, because I've done it, to think that you are a good friend, yet not be a good friend at all. In this passage today, Paul points to Timothy and basically says, this is what it looks like to be a true Christian friend. And that struck me as an opportunity to, one, evaluate my life, my friendship, how much of a friend that I am, but to also, as Christians today in God's house, take a moment to evaluate your friendship with others. How much of a friend are you to other people for Christ? Timothy wasn't a celebrity. Timothy wasn't flashy. But Paul looked at him and said, there's nobody like him. That's powerful. And so today we're going to see what it's like to be a true friend from a Christian perspective. Our first truth is a true friend genuinely cares. Let's read verses 19 and 20 together. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. You can tell the difference between someone who says they care and someone who actually cares. I tend to assume, or maybe I have gotten good at convincing myself, that I'm a caring person. But I absolutely do not always show genuine care for other people. Paul says, I have no one else like him, no one of kindred spirit. Timothy was not just available. That's good. That's one thing we talked about several weeks ago. It's powerful to be available. But he was not just available. Timothy was invested. He cared about the welfare of fellow Christians. We should care about the welfare of fellow Christians. He cared about modeling who he claimed to be, actually living out what he said he was and what he thought he was and what he thought he should be. We've all said this, and if you haven't, I want to talk to you afterwards because this is a very prominent phrase. Let me know if you need anything. Y'all say that, right? Everybody says that. Let me know if you need anything. And it sounds great. I use it all the time. And then hope and pray that you don't need anything. And then hope that maybe somebody else's phone number was a little higher than mine, and you gave them a call if you came into the need. Or maybe I'll even do this to you. You call me and I go, that's not even justified. That is not a real need. You can handle that. Or why don't you, boy, handle that? I mean, you got a strapping son. You got a daughter who can take care of this. That's where I go with it. Right after I said, let me know if you need anything. I'm here for you. That's how good of a dude I am. These actions can be a symptom that we're not the friends that we think we are. A true Christian friend genuinely, if we look at this as the model, genuinely cares about others, not just in words, not just in phrases, but in deeds. One thing I have to ask myself, and I encourage you maybe to do the same thing, do people feel cared for when they're around me or just merely talked to? I learned the danger of lip service, and I think I've shared this before, but it's worth sharing again. I had a manager one time that, man, I really had nothing for. I just didn't. I'd lost respect for him. I was just in a bad place with them. And one reason is they would ask me to do things that made no sense. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to get on board when you're getting people to do, and you're just like, man, this is a waste of time. But anyway, that's not the point of this. But that's why I lost kind of respect. And she'd ask me to go do something, and I was just like, this is the craziest thing. I'm not doing this. It makes no sense. But I know what I can do. I can tell her that I'm going to do it and then just not do it. She's never going to follow up. She never follows up on anything, so she's never going to even realize that I didn't do the thing that she wanted me to do. So I carried out that plan. Lo and behold, she followed up. The one time that she follows up, and I had not done it at all. Well, guess what? We had a little conversation about that, and I had to answer for why I had agreed that I understood and that I would do something that I didn't even attend to it at all. That's a work example, and so I was punished for that. In our friendships, we get punished in the same way. You may not get a reprimand. You may not get a pink slip. You may just lose a friend over it. When we perform lip service and tell our friends that we're going to be there for them, we're going to do this, and time again, we don't, that friendship is not going to last. Real friendship isn't measured only by what you say, it's measured by what we do. Some things we can do to combat that this week. Number one, and I know this sounds very simple, but I think it's pretty profound. Ask one person, one of your friends, a real question this week, and don't interrupt them when they answer. Serve them, be a friend, listen to them thoroughly, empathize with them, sympathize with them, and serve them in that conversation. Don't make it about you at all. Don't think of the first story. That's what happens. You know, they tell us their problem. We go, I had a problem like that one time. Let me tell you about my problem. It's like, okay, well, I guess we're having your problems now. Serve them. Don't interrupt them. Just listen. Follow up with someone without being prompted. This week, we're more connected today than we've ever been connected in the entire existence of the world. Make one phone call this week. Ask somebody how they're doing. You like to write cards? Write them a card. It's powerful to get that in the mail and go, wow, they took time to sit down and write this out and ask me how I'm doing. Tell them that they're telling me that they prayed for me. Or maybe, if nothing else, send them a text. One simple text to a friend that you got this week and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you. Praying for you today. You're on my heart. You're on my mind. We know how profound that is when it happens to us, but if you're anything like me, oftentimes that does not incite you to know how powerful it would be if you would do the same thing back to them. Our second truth is a true friend is not driven by self-interest. Look here in verse 21. For they all seek after their own interest, not those of Christ Jesus. Paul had said that Timothy was set apart. He could find no one else like him. So the rest of those that were unlike Timothy, all seek after their own interest. Boy, I am guilty. I have no room to tell anybody that they should feel bad about seeking their own self-interest because I am probably as good or better at it than anybody in this room. Most people don't ruin relationships on purpose. They just slowly start making everything in the relationship about themselves. It's about Philip. I have this great friend, but it really is about me. I naturally think about three things. Number one, what's convenient for Philip? What is most convenient for me today? And boy, that one has the weight. I am real concerned with things being convenient for me. And then number two, I'm real concerned with what's beneficial to me. Sadly, one of the things that I despise about myself is I naturally drift to how will this benefit Philip? And if I can find that benefit in there, I'll go and look like a hero and I'll be your friend and I'll do it. And the third thing, and this is getting more and more complex as we go forward, how does this request fit my schedule? You need me to do this, I'm really capable, but man, I was going to go fishing about 3 o'clock today. Well, I got this plan and so if your need doesn't fit in my schedule and it doesn't benefit me, well, Philip may not be there. That shouldn't be how it is. That's not what Timothy modeled. That's not what Paul is celebrating here. A true Christian friend fights self-interest and chooses others over themselves. Jesus had a lot to say about others. Serving others, selfless service, and then modeled it. I had a little business with a friend of mine. We're making fishing lures. If anybody's ever bass fished, a jig has got a lead head on it and a hook. You put a skirt on it and you tie. I know y'all don't want to know about all that, but I like fishing, so I'm going to tell you about it. So we were making these things. We were pouring the leads on the hook, building the skirts, doing all this. And we had started getting a few orders, and we got behind. Well, I had a little something to do on Saturday, so I went and did that. But as soon as I was done, I said, well, I'm going to call him. He needs to get over here right now, and he needs to help me make all these jigs. We're in this thing together. So I called him. Well, much to my surprise, he was living his own life and he had already made his own plans and he was doing something else. Well, I didn't respond with, yeah, you're probably busy. I should have told you a week ago. I should have told you several days ago, that we need to make plans for us to get together and find a good time to do this. But instead, I threw an absolute fit, acted like a donkey on the phone, said a bunch of things that I didn't need to say, because why? What had blinded me and led me to act like that? Me. Because this whole thing is about Philip. It's about my time. It's about what I think needs to happen. I was the one that proved to not be a very good friend in that moment. And it hurt the relationship. Rightfully so, as it should have. Here's a good question. If somebody watched my life closely, would they say that I'm selfless are just self-selective. Self-interest doesn't just weaken friendships, it undesirably reshapes those around you. It reshapes how they act around you, it reshapes how they think about you as we push this pattern forward of our selfishness. So the model, the goal today, the simple teaching from this part is to seek after the interest of others. Do one thing for someone else this week that costs you your time. Inconvenience your schedule one time this week for someone else and just see what happens. See how they respond. And also see what it feels like to you in response when you give that up, when you sacrifice for someone else. This past week, a friend of mine, Daniel, he's a pastor in Tennessee. He had called me months ago. He knows I like to turkey hunt. He called me months ago and said, "Hey, man, just let me know when I need to clear my schedule. I want you to come up here. I've got close to 3,000 acres and a ton of turkeys. I just want you to come up here, and I want to give you a couple of days away and let you turkey hunt." Well, I was happy to oblige him with this. So this past week is when it happened. Not only did he clear his schedule and clear his time for me, he had nothing planned. Zero. No ambitions and desires but to be there for me and be a friend. He had, without my knowledge, he had reached out to Bethany on top of that. And when I got there, in the log cabin that he had provided without any cost to me or anything, he had put all of my favorite snacks on the stove. He had my favorite drinks, which he called sissy drinks, in the refrigerator. Everything was planned out to a T. Can you imagine how I felt? Do you know how I felt when I walked in there and saw that and realized the sacrifices that he had made just for me? And then do you realize how bad I feel that I never make those type of sacrifices for anybody else? It makes a huge impact. We can make a huge impact for our Christian friends. We can make a huge impact for the kingdom if we can just ask God for the strength to put aside our selfishness and seek to serve other people. Lastly, a true friend proves it over time. Let's read verses 22 through 24 together. "But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself will also be coming shortly." Showing up makes an impression, but it doesn't build. Let me rephrase that. Showing up once makes an impression, but showing up one time doesn't build trust. I want to be seen as dependable from my Christian brothers and sisters. But unfortunately, I don't always follow through time and time and time again. I'm pretty good at those one-offs, those occasions. A true Christian friend is proven through consistent, faithful presence over time. Timothy didn't just stick around. He didn't just show up from time to time. He tied his life to Paul through the mission of Christ Jesus on his life. They were locked arm in arm for the mission, their calling to serve Jesus Christ. This is not about just being a better worldly friend. I wish I had one. I thought about it when I was sitting there about 2 minutes before I came up here. I'm not used to bringing y'all visual illustrations, but boy, this would be a great time for one. When I was growing up, the older ladies were, y'all may still do this, I'm not saying you don't. Maybe I just don't know about it. Making blankets, quilts. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Y'all never seen a homemade blanket? Well, usually they have a pattern on them. And they'll be different, like say a red, a blue, and a white. And then it'll repeat, red, blue, white. And those colors, when they show up when they're supposed to, is what makes a pattern. Timothy had a pattern of service. Philip is like a random color that just shows up from time to time. And it looks like that. Did you run out of blue? Because here's this yellow. That's the way that my service is. It's never A.B. Philip, A.B. Philip, A.B. Philip. It's like A.B. Philip, A.B., 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 A.B. Philip. I don't want to be that way. I want to be a consistent pattern of service to other people. Not just a, did you run out of blue? And you put this one in there. Who in my life knows they can count on me no matter what? Ask yourself that question. Who in your life, what Christian brother or sister knows that they can count on you no matter what, no matter the benefit, no matter the time, no matter the schedule, no matter anything? And if you've got a plethora of people that you can honestly say, well, there's Bobby, Ricky, Terry, June, I'm running out of names, then awesome. Congratulations, keep going. But if you're like me and you're struggling to think of one person that would say, no, there's no matter what happens, Philip's going to show up, then join me and asking Christ to help you because you need some help. It's not a hopeless cause. It's an opportunity to improve. Trust isn't built in big moments. It's built in repeated faithfulness. I thought of the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." We're talking about friendship. I can think of no better friend than Jesus. I'm going to read a few of these words out of this hymn for you today. They're not in order. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. So there's something that he did for us. There's one way that Jesus was a friend. He bore our sins. He bore our burdens. Can we find a friend so faithful? There's another attribute. Jesus is faithful. Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus shares our sorrows. Precious Savior, still our refuge. That means a place that you can go to escape to be safe. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? In His arms, He'll take and shield you. You will find solace there. That's a true friend. If we're wondering what characteristics we could embody, those are a few that we could absolutely have confidence in seeking to embody in our own lives. So show up again for someone. We're talking about being a pattern. Show up again, not just one time. Show up when they don't ask you to. Show up when you're unexpected. Pick one relationship this week. We're not trying to solve all our issues at one time. There's no way we could do that. Don't go pick 25 Christian friends and let's get this thing back on the road. Let's pick one person this week and commit to check in once a week. Pretty small thing. Just check in. How are you doing today? How's your week? How's that thing you've been going through? Just a small thing. We don't have to change the world in one day, just one small commitment. But here I want to say this, and I thought about my young folks, so I'm really, this is kind of for you guys. You have to be discerning when it comes to your friendships, your Christian friendships. In no way am I getting up here saying that, well, everything your friend tells you that you need to do that. That is not what I'm saying. You have to be discerning through the Holy Spirit. But if your friend has a genuine need that will not compromise your faith and your walk with Jesus Christ, consider that. But if your friend is just calling you to go over here and act like a goofball and do some things that will compromise your faith, that is not what I'm telling you to satisfy. You have to be discerning through the power of the Holy Spirit what is you can do for Christ and what not. So don't hear me say you just do everything your friends tell you to do. That's a bad idea. Are you the friend you think you are? We'll go back to the wedding invitation that I talked about in the beginning. That's not the kind of friend that Paul's describing in Timothy. The friend that didn't want to give up his Saturday in the deer stand so that he could go and celebrate one of the biggest days of someone's life with them. And I'm not saying if you don't go to wedding, you're a bad person. Don't hear that either. This is just my situation at that time. Paul looked at Timothy and said, I don't have anyone else like him. That almost haunts me. But I'm also encouraged. Can you imagine being such a good friend to somebody that they could honestly say, there ain't another one like this one. This is a true, godly, Christ-fearing, Christ-serving, God-glorifying friend right here. That's what I want to be. We don't become this friend by trying harder, tying your boots tighter, cinching your belt down a notch. We become this kind of friend by being shaped by Christ, who never fails to show up for us. It's through pursuing Him, it's through trying to follow Him. It's a side effect. Being this kind of friend will be just what happens. As Christ shapes us, we'll begin to care like Him. We'll begin to put others before ourselves. And we'll begin to show up and have that pattern and show up again and again and again. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. This is the kind of life we're called to live as followers of Christ. I've confessed to you that I don't do it well. I have a long history. I have a proven history of not doing it well. But what I've done in the past does not dictate what I do in the future. And it doesn't, what you may have done in the past doesn't dictate your future either. The Christian life following Christ is the life that we're all called to live. And if we're willing to do that, if we're willing to follow Christ, I think each and every one of us have a hope to be the friend that Paul described in Timothy today. Don't just look for a friend like Timothy. Seek to be the Timothy friend that he was to Paul. If you would, please stand.